Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, I'm Brent Sciotta, filling in for Steve Klein. Glad to have you listening to the program this morning. I hope you're seeking the Lord. Every day is a good day to seek God. Today is especially beautiful to seek the Lord who made us. We invite you to study and worship with us at the church at Eastside. We meet at 110 French Way here in Athens, Alabama. We meet at 9:30 this morning for Bible study and worship. Hope you can come out and join us. I'd like to talk with you a few moments this morning about this topic of suffering. You know, whenever we suffer trouble, heartache, do we ever indict God and say, you know, why would he let this happen? You know, why is this happening to me? God must be against me. We see others suffer. Well, you know, maybe it's God against them. The Hebrew writer told those Christians in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, he said, God had told them, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So if we're serving the Lord of heaven, God's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. We may go through trouble, trials in this world, but God is not against us. John 3:16 even shows us the extent to which God cares for all men, in that it tells us that he loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. God gave Jesus to suffer and die on the cross for you and I. Does he not care for us? Well, certainly he gave his Son to die for us. So don't think that when you and I suffer, don't think, you know, God must be against me. You know, why is God letting this happen to me? There may be a reason. But David illustrates the attitude I think that we should have in suffering. In Psalm 142, David was on the run from King Saul. He would hide in a cave. Saul was out to kill him. In Psalm 142, in fact, the psalm begins with a note, that a prayer when he was in the cave, David's prayer. But in Psalm 142 and verses 4 and 5, David expresses the feeling that no man cared for his soul. You know, he was suffering. Someone's out to kill him. No one cared for him. But he says, he cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Instead of turning against God, instead of indicting God, David rather took refuge in God, turned to God. In verse 7, David's attitude was that he was going to look forward to the time when God would bless him, when God would deal bountifully with him, and when he'd be surrounded by the righteous. And I believe that's the attitude we ought to have in suffering. Rather than turn against God, turn toward God, seek him, look to him as a refuge, and look forward to the time when God would bless us and we'll be surrounded by the righteous. But in our study of the topic of suffering this morning, I'd like us to take a look at just a few examples of some who suffered, yet God was with them, or that he was for their good, for their best interests. So again, the point being that when we suffer, you know, we ought not to think that God's against us in some way. And I'd like us to look at a few examples of some who suffered, yet God was with them, or God was for them. But before we look at those examples, I'd like us just to consider a foundation of information that we have in the Bible about good and evil in this world. I think it'll help us in our study of the topic of suffering. Then we'll get back to those examples. Number one, this world is full of good. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus tells us that God sends his rain on the just and on the unjust, sends his sun on the good and on the evil. And so, you know, whether we're good or bad, God is giving us his sun and his rain. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, we see that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. Everything in the world is God's, and he gives it to all men to enjoy. In Acts 17, verse 25, the Apostle Paul tells us that God gives to all, good and evil, God gives to all life and breath and all things. And so, you know, that the tree outside the building, you know, that's living because God said trees are going to live. Our hearts beating within us today is because God breathing into man the breath of life, he became a living soul. God, man lives because of God. All things exist because of God. He gives to all everything that we see. The fact that evil men, you know, the bad man's garden grows. The fact that evil men receive good in this world doesn't mean that God is for them in their evil actions. God approves of any of that. No, God just gives to all men life and breath and all things, the sun and the rain. This world is full of good. Secondly, I'd like us to understand, just as a foundation of information on good and evil in this world is full of evil. In Job 14 and verse 1, you remember Job, God allowed Job to suffer. In his suffering, he tells us in Job 14, verse 1, he says, man's days are few and full of trouble. You know, every one of us suffer disease, heartache, death. Man's days are few and full of trouble. This world is full of evil. But that doesn't mean that God is against those who are good. It doesn't mean that God's for those who are evil because God gives them good. It doesn't mean that the righteous, when they suffer, that God's against them. No, this world is just full of good and evil. But one thing I want us to remember is in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 is that the world to come will only have good. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, Peter is describing in that section the end of the world, the second coming of the Lord. And he tells us in verse 13 that we look for a new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Yes, this world is full of evil. The world to come will not be. And that's what we want to seek for. Just as we said, in the attitude of David, when he was suffering, you know, he was looking forward to the time when God would bless him and he would be surrounded by the righteous. That's what we need to look forward to, a time of good. So this world is full of good. This world is full of evil. A third thing I'd like us to see is that God set good and evil back to back so that we don't know what's coming. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 14, Solomon tells us, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. You know, on a great day, be glad, be joyful, praise the Lord. But in the day of adversity, consider, God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. We don't know what's coming. We don't know whether there's going to be a pandemic next week, if the Lord allows time to continue, whether there's going to be another pandemic next week or not. God set good and evil back to back in this world so that we don't know what's coming. And that's why I believe we ought to say, as James 4:15 tells us, that if the Lord will, we'll go into the city and do this or that. What I'm going to do this or that if the Lord will. Good and evil are simply a part of this world. And the fourth thing I'd like us to understand is that it may be that we suffer for our own good and for the glory of God. In John chapter 9, we're studying the book of John at the building with the church at Eastside there, and we'd invite you to come out and study with us this morning. But in John chapter 9, you know, the disciples of Jesus had the attitude. It's not a new thing for people to think, well, you know, if someone is suffering, that means that they've done something wrong or God's against them or something like that. No, the disciples asked Jesus, well, there's this blind man. Well, who sinned to make him blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? Is that what caused his blindness? Jesus said, neither, verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God was going to use, could you imagine being used, you suffer, but God use you to his glory for your good, and then your testimony stands to the end of time. Here, people are going to be able to read about this blind man in John 9 to the end of time. But God was using him for his glory. In Romans 8, verse 28, we need to understand that all things are good to them that love the Lord. No. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. This world is full of good. This world is full of evil. That's just the way that's the way it is here. The world to come will not be evil, but this world is full of good and evil, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Well, now let's look at some examples of some people who suffered, yet God was with them, or he was out for their good. And the first example I'd like us to see is that of Joseph. In Genesis 37, we see how the young man Joseph, he's about 17 years old here in Genesis 17. And you remember the patriarchs that we read of in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph was the son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And here in Genesis 37, verses 23 through 25, we read the account of how that Now Jacob favored Joseph. He made him a coat of many colors. His brothers hated him. Well, Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers. He went out in the field to check on his brothers, see how they were. In verses 23 through 25, Joseph is coming, and they say, here's this dreamer coming. Let's kill him. And so Reuben, his brother, didn't want to kill him. So he had a plan. They put him in a pit. But while Reuben was gone, there were some Ishmaelites, the traders, coming. And so Judah, one of his other brothers, decided to sell him. So they sold their brother, and eventually he came to slavery in Egypt. But in Genesis chapter 42, over 20 years later, in Genesis chapter 42, what had happened with Joseph? He was sold into Egypt. His first master, his first master's wife lied against him, framed him. Joseph was thrown into prison. So he suffered at the hands of his brothers, thrown into prison. Well, Joseph, by the power of God, could interpret dreams. Pharaoh had a dream. Remember Pharaoh's dream of the seven fat cows and the seven skinny cows? The seven skinny cows ate the seven fat cows, and Joseph was brought in before Pharaoh to interpret that dream. And Joseph said, well, you're going to have 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And so Pharaoh set him second in command over Egypt to gather in all of the food during the 7 years of plenty so that Egypt could be sustained during the famine. Well, in Genesis 42, about 20 years later, after they sold Joseph, his brothers come to Egypt. They don't recognize Joseph. Joseph knows them. You know, here's this Egyptian, second in command of Pharaoh, and they're coming before him to buy grain. But they're talking among themselves in verses 21, 22, and they're talking about, these things fell out to us because of our own sins. And they said, in verse 21, they saw the anguish of Joseph's soul. You know, don't you remember, you brothers? You know, we saw Joseph in his anguish. You know, I could just imagine, maybe Joseph was pleading for his life. Man, my brothers are going to kill me. But they saw the anguish of his soul, and we sold him. Well, later on in chapter 45, Genesis 45, Joseph makes himself known to his brothers. And in Genesis 45 and verses 7 and 8, he tells his brothers that, God sent me here to preserve you, to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. No, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. God, I'm working out part of God's plan. And in chapter 50, when Joseph's brothers, they felt that maybe Joseph was going to take vengeance on them, get back at them for all they had done to him. Well, in Genesis 50 and verse 19, Joseph said, don't be afraid, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. They were out to kill him. And Joseph suffered all kinds of things, but he says, but God meant it unto good. God, I suffered, but God meant it for good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. I'm saving your lives, my family's lives. I'm saving the nation of Egypt, and really is going to save the world. You know, Judah, one of Joseph's brothers that he saved here from this famine by giving them this grain that he had saved up. Judah is through Judah's lineage that Jesus came into the world. God meant it good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Yeah, this world is full of evil. Job 14, verse 1, man's days are few, full of trouble. Joseph suffered. He was, the Bible tells us that his feet hurt in the stocks. You know, Joseph was in anguish of soul. He's lied against. This world is full of evil. But remember Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So God was behind Jesus. He was with Joseph. He was with Joseph. He suffered. God was with him. Another example, you know, so we shouldn't think, wow, I'm suffering. God's against me in some way. No. Think about, remember Joseph. Well, here's another example, an unlikely example, you might think, but I'd like to look at the wicked men of Revelation 16. Now, remember that God is for all men in the sense that he wants all men to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God wants all men to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. John 3:16, he loved the world, gave his son to die for us. In Revelation chapter 16, in this context, God is sending plagues of judgment upon the earth. Men are suffering. And in verse 9, these men in here that suffered, it says that they blasphemed the name of God. They blasphemed rather than, as we saw David in Psalm 142, rather than turn to God in suffering. No, they blasphemed God. It says, which hath power over these plagues? The very one that had power to stop it, they cursed. Can you believe that? And they repented not to give him glory. In verse 11, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. You know, I've met some who espouse, a false doctrine of evil, easy believism. And they described to me, wow, you don't even have to repent of your sins. Well, here's an example. You know, God wants all men to come to repentance. Here's an example of some wicked men that, I take it, God is trying to get them to come to repentance, but says they didn't repent of their sins. No, repentance of sin is something we ought to do. But rather than that, they blaspheme God because of their suffering. They blaspheme God. They didn't turn. Well, what is the mindset then that we ought to have in suffering? You know, if we're serving God, we remember from Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, if we're a Christian, we're serving God, then God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. No, we need to remember that. That's a mindset we ought to have in suffering. Second mindset we ought to have is to trust God and praise him. You know, God, if anyone, the Creator, God knows what he's doing. The man Job suffered much by God's allowance. God allowed Job to suffer at the hands of the devil. Job lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his possessions. Job 13, in verse 15, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. For a man to be able to say those words and mean them, well, man, if God would even kill me, I'll trust him. He must know what he's doing. It's in his plan. You know, it's out. If God kills me, I trust him. For a man to be able to say that and mean it shows amazing trust, does it not? And in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, after Job had lost everything, Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So one lesson we ought to take in suffering is not to be like those of Revelation 16 who blaspheme God, the one who had the power of the plagues, but rather praise God, trust God, be like David, and look, not be against God in any way, indict God in any way, but turn to God, trust God and praise him. He knows what he's doing. The Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The third thing I'd like us to see, the mindset we ought to have in suffering, is to remember that this evil world is going to pass away in spite of what, say, the Watchtower and others may teach. This evil world is going to pass away, but a world of righteousness is coming. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. So again, we ought to seek that world to come. seek the good world to come. That's the mindset we ought to have. Understand, we're serving God. He'll be with us. Trust God. Praise Him, even in suffering. And remember, got to get through this world. This evil world is going to pass away, but a world of righteousness is coming. I'd like us to consider one last example of suffering. One last example of someone who suffered, yet God was with him. And that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 17 that, let me just turn over there and read that. John 10 verse 17, Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. God so loved the world that he gave his Son." Jesus suffered, the very topic we're talking about. He suffered and died on the cross for our sins. And God, Jesus said that God loved him because he laid down his life. Now, if suffering means that God's against us, what would that say about Jesus? No, Jesus was suffering, but God was with him. In fact, God loved him because he was willing to die. There was a purpose in Jesus' suffering, was it not? Matthew 26, 28 tells us Jesus said how that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, for the remission of sins. So Jesus, the purpose in Jesus' suffering was to save all mankind. He died on the cross for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. Let me turn over there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul makes the statement that if the people had who had killed Jesus, if they had known God's plan, they wouldn't have done it. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So, you know, we may not, just because we don't understand why something is happening, doesn't mean there's not a reason. You know, I don't know that Joseph knew from the get-go God's reason. He found out. Joseph suffered. Jesus suffered. People suffer in this world. It's just a part of this world. Evil's a part of this world. Tribulation's a part of this world. If we're suffering, if we're righteous, we're going to suffer persecution, in fact. But in John 3, if we believe John 3:16, if you and I truly believe John 3:16, that God loved the world, gave his Son to die for us, if we truly believe that verse, then we really throw away the right to make any argument that God doesn't care for us when we suffer. God cared for Jesus, but he suffered. Many people, we look at many examples in the Bible of people who suffered, yet God was with them. Doesn't mean that God's against us because we suffer. If we truly believe John 3:16, we understand that God loves us. He loved the world and gave Jesus to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. What is the mindset that Jesus would want us to have? What is the mindset that Jesus would want us to have? In John 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Evil is just a part of this world. You know, as Job said, man's days are few, full of trouble. Joseph suffered. Jesus suffered. This world's full of tribulation. "But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." So what's Jesus' point to us? We can overcome the world, right? Well, how do we overcome? How are we going to win? How do we overcome? I think that's the point. How are we going to win in this world, through this world of tribulation? You know, are we going to get around evil? Well, we may get around some, but is that the point, that we get around what is evil? No, we can make it through it. We can win. We can overcome. Look with me at Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, in verse 9, the Apostle John saw in this vision, he saw a sea of people, a multitude of people, who, as we see here in verse 9, were arrayed in white robes. And they stood before the throne, stood before the Lamb. And as we see at the end of this chapter, Revelation 7, the Lamb was going to lead them into living waters. And God was going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. So here was a great multitude of people arrayed in white, and they were going to be blessed reminds me again of David's attitude in Psalm 142, that he was looking forward to a time when God would bless him. He'd be surrounded by the righteous. Here, this sea of people that were arrayed in white robes, who were they? Well, in verse 14, John was told, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They didn't get around it. They didn't get around trouble. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. They didn't get around it, but they came through it. And they won. How? These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Next week, Lord willing, I'd like us to look at the question, how does one wash his robe in the blood of the Lamb? Here is something that involves our choice. They wash their robe in the blood of the Lamb. There's choices involved in that. And I, you know, when we think about them being arrayed in white robes, I take it, and we'll see more of this next week, that here's one spiritual condition. It's made white by the cleansing blood of Christ. Here's a sea of people robed in white, made white by the blood of the Lamb. How do we wash? How do you wash your robe in the blood of the Lamb? How do we wash our robe in the blood of the Lamb? Lord willing, again, we'll look at that topic next week. But in this lesson on suffering, I'd like us to understand that this world is full of good, world is full of evil. That's just the way it is. There's tribulation in this world, but we can get through it. We can overcome. We can win by the blood of Christ. We ought to have the attitude, rather than being against God because of evil that we see in the world, suffering that we see in the world, suffering that we have, rather than be against God, turn to God and look, as did David, for a time in which God would bless us, in which we'll be surrounded by the righteous. We thank you for listening to the program this morning. You can go to the website, and there's a lot of Bible helps on the website, lessons you can download. And also, there's the direct email addresses of the elders of the church, Steve, the phone number of the building. You can call and leave a message. If you'd like to contact the elders, email them, call Steve, he'll get back with you. And there's even some free Bible correspondence courses that you can look at and download and take online. But if you have any Bible questions, you have a question about the lesson that I've looked at this morning, you have a question about some other Bible topic, I'd like you to send me a text. Just send me a text at 256-206-2057, 256-206-2057. And I'd be glad to set aside a time to talk with you more about the Bible, about suffering, about any Bible topic. But we appreciate you listening to the program this morning. And hope you'll come out and study with us this morning at Eastside, 9:30. Meet at 110 French Way. Hope to see you there. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside, or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org.